It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode, the first one of 2026, episode 554, I'm welcoming to the show Deborah Falada.
And I'm going to give you the same advice for friendship. Keep trying. The skill set of you need to keep being intentional with your relationships. Keep trying, keep investing, keep believing, keep offering your best and looking for their best. Keep believing for a give and take relationship, not one where you give too much and burn out, and not one where you give too little. You know, what could it look like for us to be intentional with a few friends this coming year to bring them close and to really nurture that relationship?
Deborah is a licensed professional counselor. She's a best-selling author, national speaker, and today we're talking about the topic of people skills. Now, at Don't Mom Alone, we're always encouraging you to expand beyond your home and build your relationships. And so I wanted to equip you with this information from Deborah. I found it super helpful heading into the holidays, and I know it's past the holidays, but we're starting off 2026. And wouldn't it be great if by the end of the year, we have improved our communication, our conversation? I loved how she defines the four types of communication styles. And my boys constantly use passive aggressive. They throw it around. You're being passive aggressive. Well, her definition to me has stuck with me. It is so fabulous. And I hope you agree and it helps you. Some real practical tips for being a great conversationalist. And also, outside of this conversation, I wanted to let you know that our DFW Don't Mom Alone community, you are invited to join me. I mentioned this months ago that we were going to head over to Embrace Grace and be a part of one of their Pro Love Saturdays, where they write brave girl letters and they pack love boxes. And so all those details, I'll share more at the end of the show. Also, there's a link in the show notes, so don't miss that. But let's get to my conversation with Deborah. Here we go. Oh my goodness, Deborah, I don't know why we haven't had this conversation before, why you've never been on the show before, but we're fixing that today because
I'm so glad to be here.
You have a lot of wisdom, a bazillion books. This one we're going to talk about today is your ninth. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's so wild to hear you say that.
I mean, I was looking at your bio and I was like, oh my gosh, she's an LPC and she's started, you know, true love dates and she's doing all this stuff. And I'm like, I guess she's not a mom. I guess she, and then it's like, she lives with her husband and her four children. And then you get on, you're like, and I homeschool. Now, all the moms don't like you right now.
I know. Everyone's annoyed at me.
Okay. Maybe
if they only knew though, if they only knew.
Yeah.
Can I just start with that? Cause I feel like that's something really important. You know, when you look at what I do on paper, it's like overwhelming, but I see behind the scenes and I know that 10 years ago when all of this started, 11 years ago, I gave God the little bit I had each day in between nap times, the little bit I had. There was dishes in the sink. There was things that needed to be done, but I just knew that God had called me to write and teach. And at that time, I had 82 Twitter followers. I had no books, like nothing. And I gave him the small loaves and fish that I had. And I was like, this is all I got for today. Mm-hmm. And he has multiplied it. And I continue to show up with the small loaves and fish that I have. I don't work every single day. I only work 2.5 days a week. I homeschool my kids. I've tried to prioritize. I've tried to keep myself healthy. And I feel like God has shown up again and again and reminded me, if you just give me the little that you have, just wait and see what I'll do with it. And you stand back and you know it was him. You know it was him. Like, I look at it and I'm not like, oh, I'm an amazing entrepreneur. I am just like, Lord, only you.
Yeah.
No, that's so good. That's my testimony, you know, just give him the little bit that you have.
It's a great example of just using what you have where you are, which I try to tell people all the time, like occupy your God-given space and don't compare and contrast. Because yeah. I also think too, you might, some women listening have a standard of how they like the kitchen to be and they're picturing right. that. And so you saying, oh, the dishes are in the sink. They're like, wait, what? She has yeah. dishes in the sink. So I think we all keep in our heads what our standards and what good is. And then we take all what you're doing and we try to mesh it all in our world and it doesn't work.
Exactly. Because yeah. you can't do it all. Mm-hmm. You just can't.
Some and, things are and dropping.
You shouldn't. Yeah. Yeah. And I also found that for me, giving my time in writing and counseling people was filling for me. And I knew as a mom, there's so much pouring out that you do, an extraordinary amount of pouring out. And what I have learned, I actually have a book called Soul Care where I felt like the Lord taught me these lessons, but I have learned that an extraordinary amount of pouring out means I need an extraordinary amount of filling. And I don't think we realize how much we need to be filled and what it looks like for each of us to be filled as moms. Sometimes we feel guilty, like, yeah. oh, I shouldn't take these minutes. I should do the dishes instead of do what fills me up. But in order to stay healthy and pour out the way that God wants us to pour out, we have to be filled and be intentional about that. So,
and I think filling up, but I've also had this great picture given to me from a mom who had like 10 kids that she thought there's not a space big enough to fill up for how much pouring out I have to do. So it's like me getting in the river and God's the source of the filling.
1,000%.
So like it's the taking the moment so you remind yourself, I'm not the source, but I am in the source and he's flowing through me to these people because
Yeah.
It can be like, wow, it's 8:30 and I've already poured out everything I got. Like,
yeah, he is the source, he's the source and he gives us the resources.
Yeah.
So we get both, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. So I think that's the goal, you know, of all of this is that we serve God and we do what he's put in front of us for the long haul. And in order to do it for the long haul, we need to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves so that we can do it for the long haul, taking care of this yeah. temple, this heart, this soul, this mind that he's given us. And so.
And you mentioned that you do some counseling.
Yeah.
And so some of these books you've written, I'm guessing, have come out of being with people in those spaces.
Exactly. Exactly.
One, we're going to talk about people skills. I'll say the subtitle if I can read my own writing. Your relationship is only as strong as your skills. Is that right? Did I write the whole thing down?
Your relationships are only as strong as your skills.
So you're in therapy with people. I mean, you're counseling people. And what made you realize, wow, this was a need? This is something.
You know, it's funny. I probably realized it outside of counseling because it's like, you know, whether or not people are in the office or voluntarily coming in to work on themselves, you look around this world today and you see the things people say and do and how they act, and not just crazy people, not just wild ones, well-intentioned people that you know and love. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is not coming across how you think it's coming across. And I just feel like in our tech-saturated world, over the past decade, we've really lost something that we used to be able to practice a little bit more through real-life interactions, relationships, where you used to have to go to the library and have a conversation with the librarian. Now you just ask ChatGPT, where you used to have to go to the grocery store and walk around and talk to people. Now it gets delivered at your door. And I press the option, just leave it at my door. Like, you don't even have to ring my doorbell. I don't need to talk to anybody, you know? And that's our life in so many ways. Keyboard conversations not real life with real facial expressions and interactions and questions. It's a lot of one-way conversations. Here's what I think about this and this and this. And then we walk away from it without the process of engaging in healthy communication. So we've even lost our ability to practice some of these things that maybe we could have practiced a decade ago. So it feels like it's only getting worse.
Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking, and I don't ever want to add guilt to moms. So moms, hear me say this, but I will say that now that I don't have young kids, I'm very thankful I did not have a phone when they were young, because being out and about, I'm seeing, like, I saw a mom with her two precious daughters. I don't have daughters, okay? I have four boys, but she's at this holiday tea. And I'm thinking, what a precious thing. You get to be at this holiday tea. And I did not see her off her phone. Whenever I was looking over there, she was on
it. Yeah, yeah.
And I felt sad because these girls weren't on phones and they were just watching their mom. And I'm thinking, are we even modeling the people skills? As a speech pathologist, I mean, I knew how much pragmatics was a part of. You've got speech and language and, you know, intonation. But if we are stuck in that tech impact,
right,
then we are not even modeling them to the next generation that may not be using tech to the degree that we are, but those soft skills aren't being passed down.
Absolutely. I mean, even eye contact, something as basic as that, when you're looking at your screen, you know, and I have, you know, I'll be the first to admit, I have had my four-year-old say to me, "Mom, look at me."
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my goodness, he's right. Like, I'm looking at something on my phone, I'm trying to multitask.
Yeah.
He notices. Mm-hmm. And it's this idea, you know, I agree with you. Guilt is not what motivates us, but I'm all about conviction. It's like
awareness, Lord, maybe.
Prompt my heart.
Yeah.
Because if I am not constantly aware and insightful, I will stay stuck. So when God convicts me, I see it as a gift, an invitation. It's God saying, I trust you with this. Mm-hmm. And I want you to do it better because it's for your good and for the good of those around you. And so that's how I receive it. When I feel those pricks of conviction, it's like he just is inviting me to do it better. Yeah. And to do it better for our kids, to do it better for our marriages. You know, when it comes to counseling, I've had so many couples who are well-intentioned, but as I'm listening to them talk and engage, it's not that there's a lack of love. They love each other. It's just a lack of skill.
Yeah.
They haven't learned the skills of how to have empathy, of what vulnerability actually looks like, of what's meaningful communication versus superficial communication, of what a significant apology looks and feels like and sounds like. Nobody's taught them. And when nobody teaches you, you learn from what's been modeled to you. You learn by default. So that's how we end up just repeating these cycle of unhealthy patterns in our marriages, in our families, in our friendships, until somebody or something interrupts and says, you know what, let me offer you something a little bit better. Let me help you learn skills that maybe you've never learned. And, you know, I find that when people do start learning these skill sets, they get the opportunity to convey the love that's actually inside of them rather than convolute it. I do have that love for you, but maybe I just don't know how to convey it to you until I learn the skill set.
This episode is brought to you thanks to sponsors like Honeylove. Now, maybe you've heard me talk about them before. Maybe this is the first time you're listening to my show. As moms, we often neglect ourselves when it comes to our bras and our shapewear. Okay, y'all? And I want that to change. And I want you to try Honeylove. Their crossover bra is the most comfortable bra I've ever worn. There is no underwire, but it somehow magically lifts and supports. It also has a smoothing back panel. So if I'm wearing a t-shirt or top, it doesn't have that awkward bulge. It's also the only bra you don't want to rip off right when you get home. They have sizes 30A to 44G. It's great for wearing under your PJs when you're lounging around the house because honestly, it is that comfortable. Also, their shapewear, if you are headed to anything fancy starting this new year, definitely check it out, okay? I can talk more about that for days, but definitely you need to try the crossover bra because right now, Honey Love is offering a crossover triple bra bundle. I know, I've looked in your drawer. You need a full refresh. And so why not have huge savings by buying three at once? Honey Love is this independent, female-founded brand. So they understand, they've been designed by women who actually love them, including their founder, Betsy. So treat yourself to the most advanced bras and shapewear on the market. Use our exclusive link to save 20% off Honey Love at honeylove.com/DMA. That's honeylove.com/DMA. After you check out, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in comfort and support with Honey Love. When you say until someone teaches you, and I love in the book how you're like, ask someone like how you come off.
That's a hard question, right? I'm like, who am I going to trust with that question?
100%. I'm like, who do I have in my life that I could trust?
That they're going to be honest.
Well, and not just honest, but like whatever they say, I'm not going to hate them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like they're not going to be mean. I do have a
confession, like life team group. It's like 3 70-year-old men, three counselors. Anyway, me, I'm the only non-counselor, female. But I think I could ask them, how do I come off? But talk us through that. If someone's listening, they're like, man, I don't even know if I do or don't have skills or if people do or don't feel my love. What's their next step in that?
Well, I would say the first step is to think through. So People Skills has 31 different skills.
The
reason 31 skills is important is because, first of all, there's probably hundreds of skills, right? Yeah. But I just kind of narrowed it down to 31 that I feel come up again and again and again in the context of counseling and interpersonal relationships. And so I think it's important to kind of go through and have self-awareness first. Before I invite people in, I'm gonna ask the Holy Spirit to open my eyes. I'm gonna look and see where I might need adjusting and what comes to my mind first. I think awareness is really important. And then bringing someone along the journey. So one of the activities in People Skills, I have you do an activity or a reflection at the end of each chapter. And one of them is a chapter that says, imagine you walked into a room with 99 other people and there's hidden cameras everywhere, you know, and everyone is dressed the same in these white jumpsuits, for example, and you don't know what's going on. You don't have any prompts. You're just told that this is an experiment and you walk in this room. You see 99 other people. It's one big hall, one big room. What would you do? What's your personality? What's your natural bent? Are you the type of person who would walk in and be very talkative, crack jokes? Are you the type of person who would walk in and say, I hope nobody notices me? You know, like it just starts to get you thinking of what would you be like in that kind of a setting to get you to start looking at yourself objectively rather than subjectively. Mm. Like, what do I look like in that type of setting? And how do I come across in that type of setting? And so I'm interested to know, Heather,
yes.
What are you like? Like what would you be doing if you were in that kind of a situation?
Well, what's so funny about that scenario is my husband had his holiday Christmas party. And I've been putting off going. This is the first time I went. One, because it always conflicted with a very dear friend's party. Two, it's in Austin and, you know, travel when you have kids. We had them in 4 different schools last year. It was like, how do I do this logistically? So there was that. But there was also
deep down,
my real, real heart was like, do I want to be in a room with 100 strangers? No. Yeah. Heck to the no. So I was very nervous about it. I was at a different party. This has been a crazy Christmas. I'm partied out, but I was at a different party the night before with good friends. And one of them was so kind as I was sharing my hesitation and a little bit of anxiety about it. She said, Heather, I have just found you to be a very authentic and kind person. And if his company, it's a software, there's a lot of software engineers, maybe quote unquote nerdier people, introverts. She said, if there's a lot of introverts there, I could only imagine, she's like, I'm an introvert and I think they will love getting to know you and appreciate who you are and how you show up. And I was like, that was the kindest thing anyone's ever said. And it did give me the confidence that I'm just going to show up and be with whoever wants to be. I'm not a room worker. I don't, you know, kind of try to talk to everyone in the room, but I did have great deep conversations with a few people and a lot of international people. And so,
so interesting.
Yeah, that's how I am because I just saw it last week.
Well, first of all, I love that your friend like offered that feedback.
I know.
Without you even asking. And then, so how that chapter ends, and that chapter is about first impressions, and how that chapter ends is the awareness that the belief system that we bring as we walk into a room influences how we feel, which then influences what we do.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. Like 12 step, like when it's like thought, feeling, behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's psychology. Yeah. Your thoughts lead to your feelings, which leads to your behaviors. So in that moment, your belief system shifted. Maybe the original belief system was, this is going to feel awkward. I don't belong here. Whereas the new belief system is, I have something to offer. And depending on which belief system you walk into that room with, it affects how you feel, which then affects what you do. So, so much of this book in all these little chapters actually really gets us to think about what's going on underneath the surface for us, because how we show up has a lot to do with our underlying beliefs about who we are, what we have to offer, what we have to bring to the table, beliefs that we might not always even be aware of, but they're affecting how we come across. They're affecting how we show up. And so, you know, it starts with that awareness of my behaviors, and then it takes us a little bit deeper into, what do I feel? Why do I feel those things? And then it takes us a little deeper into, where are these feelings rooted? What are the belief systems that keep me feeling shy? You know, shy people. Is shyness a personality trait, or is it an underlying belief system that we've developed over the years?
You tell me. What is it?
It starts to get you asking these questions.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely think there is some wiring, but I think there's a lot more belief system than we realize. There's a lot more nurture than nature. You know, we might have a tendency in our personality, but really our experience and our belief systems will propel that one way or the other. And so that's why you see people who maybe they're naturally shy, but they don't stay that way, you know, or people who might naturally be extroverted, interactive, but getting betrayed or rejected over and over again, trauma brings them back into themselves, isolates, you know? So I really think we might have a tendency towards a certain personality type in our wiring, but then our experience really shapes that. So a lot of this is about getting to the roots and deciding how I want to show up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really good. I think you also mentioned like when people come off cold.
Yes.
Or like resistant to relationship. Talk to us about that. What could be behind? And maybe they're completely unaware. I was told by someone, when they first met me, their impression was that I was really not open to new friends. And
who
I didn't.
All these people telling you all these things. I love it. You know?
I don't know. But I just think I didn't realize I gave off that vibe that I'm just not interested in making more friends. But what could be behind that for people that, or like in your example, it was a wife who was cold and
very cool demeanored.
Yeah.
You know, it was hard to read her expressions. She was very monotone in her conversation. And you know how you can kind of smile with your eyes and your face? You can exude your face can exude something. It can tell me something about you. We call it in counseling self-disclosure. And you realize that your face can disclose something, whether or not you're aware of it. You know, I asked people on Instagram, I did a a very highly researched
scientific
poll on Instagram. Yeah. And I was like, what makes someone come across as warm versus cold? And so much of it was body language, open body language, facial expressions, your tone. Mm. You know, people who are monotone aren't received as well as people who have a fluctuating tone. I mean, think about it. Would you rather hear a song that's just one note the entire time?
Right.
You know, like who would, right. Something about that isn't received well by our body. So if we think about tone in a similar way, one note versus I'm expressing a lot of different things, emotions, the way that I talk, the way that my face expresses what I feel. There's a term, I don't necessarily want to repeat the term, how we have a resting face.
A resting B face. I'll say the letter. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's like you fall into it.
Exactly.
I think I had it with my kids because I remember seeing something. It was like, you should smile around your kids. Your face should light up when they come into a room. And so I tried it and my kids were like, what are you doing? Why are you making that face? I'm like, I'm trying so hard to show joy. But yeah. So
well, we don't see our face. Yeah. We don't see our face. Yeah. You know, it's not like you're standing in front of a mirror every day.
Yeah.
You know, we have to be aware though of like, do I look mean? Am I coming across mean? Because all of these things, like who's going to approach somebody who looks mean and disgruntled, even if they don't feel that? With our spouses, with our kids, part of how I view this is good stewardship of everything we've been given. Good stewardship of my body language, good stewardship of my facial expressions, good stewardship of my communication and my words, because all of these things have an opportunity to convey love. And I want to do that to the best of my ability. I don't want it to hinder my love from coming across because of something as simple as I'm not aware that I look mean and I look disgruntled and I haven't taken inventory of my body language. And some of that is deeply rooted.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's hard. It's hard. Yeah. It's a
progression. In this example, there's this woman who, you know, comes from a family where there wasn't much warmth and kindness and compassion and connection, and it felt awkward. So it was almost like this protective, like, stay away from me because I don't want to be hurt. Mm-hmm. And maybe she didn't tell herself, I'm going to look mean, but the underlying belief system of like, stay away from me. I don't want to be hurt. I don't trust people. It created this shell without her even being aware of it, where she came across in the same way, stop signs, stay away from me. I'm not interested. Yeah. And in her case, affected her marriage.
Yeah.
Her husband was like, man, like you always look upset, angry. I have a hard time reading you. Like, what do you want from me? What don't you want? Do you want me to stay away from you? Like, you're coming across that way, but how do we figure this out?
Yeah.
And so she had some deeper work to do. In order to be able to do some of the superficial work, you know?
Yeah. And I just keep hearing you say that, like, this is a self-awareness. This is a what's going on in me. This is what am I thinking? What are my beliefs? What are my paths? Right. What's my roots?
Because I wish it was as simple as just smile more.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well,
sometimes it is.
I was going to say, you know, when you were talking about body language and how we come across and all of that, but a huge part of our relationships is conversation. And there's, you know, communication, right? That's such a big part of marriage and friendships. And you saying, I want to convey that love, some people might interpret that as, well, I'm just going to be positive all the time and I'm just going to shove down what I actually think and feel and just say the nicest things to make everybody happy and people please. And that is not what you're communicating. That's not what you're saying. Talk to us about the different communication styles that can show up and what the goal is.
Yeah. So when it comes to communication, we talk about four different types of communicators. And a very basic way of having an idea of what kind of communicator you are is imagining yourself at a restaurant and you just ordered your food and it comes out and your order is not what you expected. There's something wrong with your order. Mm-hmm. So four different types of communicators. An assertive person, which is we want to be assertive communicators. Assertiveness means I share what I need in a respectful way. I honor my side of the story while honoring you. So, hey, I noticed that this order wasn't right. And would it be possible? Could you please? I would like you to
make it
exchange
right.
Yeah. It. Make
yeah.
it right.
Yeah.
You know, very simple and respectful and kind. And I'm direct.
Clear is kind. That's what we always say around here. Clear.
Whereas there could be an aggressive communicator who gets upset, takes it personally, like, man, you guys are messing everything up. And first it was late and now there's this and I demand my order get fixed immediately. And there's all this emotion and anger. And it's like, I am upset and I need to win. That's aggressive communication. It's honoring my side of the story without honoring you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then there's passive communication, which is, oh, she's, you know, the waitress is so busy right now. Don't want to bother her. I wish this wasn't what I got, but I guess there's whatever. No big deal. So I'm honoring you, but I'm not honoring my side of the story. Mm-hmm. And then there's passive aggressive, which those are kind of like the worst of both worlds. It's like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to honor my side of the story because I'm just going to be quiet about it. But then I'm not honoring your side either because every time you come over, I'm going to huff and puff and act annoyed. I'm going to leave you a bad tip. I'm going to just be rude or spend the whole dinner making everyone around me miserable of like, oh, I can't believe this restaurant. But then when the waiter comes by, I'm not going to say it, but then I'm not honoring my side of the story, nor am I honoring you. So when it comes to everyday communication, we all have a tendency towards one of those and really figuring out which one our tendency is helps us become more aware. Do I tend to honor their story without honoring mine? Because that can only take you so long, passivity, before you lose it at some point, explode at some point, do something crazy at some point, right?
Yeah. The big Karen moments. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But then aggressive stance where I'm always going to honor my side without honoring yours, you're going to push everybody away. You might get what you want every time, but guess what? You're not going to have anybody in your corner. Mm-hmm. You push people away. You isolate and withdraw in that way because you're just always focused on your portion. You know, so really we want to move towards assertive communication and it plays out in everyday life. So we just have to open our eyes to say, okay, where am I and what topics? Maybe at a restaurant, I would be assertive, but I have a hard time being assertive with my emotions and my needs. And so that awareness begins to change a lot of what we do.
It's really good. I've heard my boys throw out, don't be passive aggressive. Don't be passive aggressive. I don't think they know what that means.
I don't think many people do, honestly. I don't
even know what that means. So I think your definition is very helpful, super helpful. And it's interesting, passive aggressive is not honoring either.
It's exactly.
Like, that's super helpful to think about. This episode is brought to you thanks to sponsors like Cove. Okay, I don't know if y'all knew, but one of the reasons we took a break during the holidays is I was out of town a lot. And it would have given me a lot more peace of mind if I had had Cove set up before we left. Okay, Cove makes it so easy to provide DIY home security on my home for less than a dollar a day. Instead of a one size fits all, they could help me build my own customizable security system. So I just took an online quiz and it tells me exactly what I need. And now starting this new year, we can set it up so quickly. Like average install time is 30 minutes. And with their cameras, you can stream live video and audio directly to my control panel and my phone, which is awesome. So if you, like me, want to start the new year off with a new peace of mind and what matters most, make sure you check out Cove because they give you this professional level security. You can focus on other things and not worrying about your home. It is very affordable, so don't let expensive security systems get in the way of you setting up your own system. Like I said, less than a dollar a day. And here's something really cool. I have a code for you that you can stack on any New Year's offers that they are having. So the new year is the perfect time. It's simple, it's affordable, it's reliable. So make your protecting your home one of your New Year's resolutions. Check out Cove at covesmart.com. Use our code DMA for an additional 10% off your order. It's easy, it's affordable, and peace of mind is guaranteed. This episode is brought to you thanks to sponsors like Green Chef. Now, if you were like me, maybe you were hanging out with friends or family over New Year's Eve, and maybe the idea of resolutions or goals or intentions for the new year came up. And what I noticed is there were definitely, you know, the spiritual goals, but there were physical health goals, family connection goals, community goals. And I feel like personally, Green Chef is an answer to many of the goals you may have for 2026. One, you're going to get clean eating. If one of your goals is to remove a lot of the chemicals and other junk in your food, then you need to check out Green Chef, because every box delivers certified organic produce, responsibly sourced proteins and seafood, and you will avoid all the ultra processed fillers. Also, science-backed nutrition. If you have wellness goals, I mentioned before, my cardiologist wants me to eat Mediterranean. They have that option, Mediterranean option. They have a high protein option, if high fiber or plant-based, all clinically proven to support healthier habits. And then, of course, with these meal plans, convenience, the convenience of the meal planning is taken care of, the grocery shopping is taken care of, and everything is low prep, low mess for every lifestyle. With Green Chef, they cut food waste by 20% versus grocery shopping. And I personally have found that anything I've made from Green Chef, my boys, my husband, they all love it. And I love the convenience so much. And I know that it hits one of my other goals, which is to gather us around the table and have a meal together, even in the midst of crazy schedules. So if you want to start off the new year right, go to greenchef.com/alonegraza. I know that's kind of a new one for us. Alonegraza, G-R-A-Z-A. Use that code alonegraza. You'll get started with 50% off Green Chef plus free Graza olive oil set in your second and third boxes. This 50% off offer is only available for a limited time, so don't wait. That code is alonegraza at greenchef.com/alonegraza. Talk to us about being a good conversationalist. What are some tips? We want to do this well. I know, you know, this is the Don't Mom Alone podcast, and I'm encouraging people, one, to trust God, two, to invite others into their story. And part of that is taking risks with other women, and mom conversations can be real tricky ground.
I know. It's true.
But I think, and we can should all over each other and tell each other how we think they should parent. And probably right. That's not being a very good conversationalist, but what are your tips? I know you share some in your book.
But. Yeah. You know, since we just talked about communication styles, I think it would be a good template to kind of think of it in that way.
Yeah.
Honoring my story and honoring yours in a conversation. So you don't want to be that mom who just drills someone with questions. I was at dinner recently with someone, and she asked me so many questions. The second I finished answering, there was another question. I felt like an interrogation. Like, I was exhausted at the end of that dinner from answering so many questions.
Yeah.
And I got zero information about her. Because I didn't even have a chance to ask a question, because the second I finished, there was another question. And so when you think about that, it's not balanced.
Yeah.
You know,
50-50. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Questions are important and they're good. It's important to be interested in the person before you. But sometimes we can hide behind questions because I'd rather the spotlight be on you than on me. Mm-hmm. And then you don't get an opportunity to disclose or share. And when you don't share and be vulnerable, in many ways that prevents intimacy.
Yeah.
It keeps people at a distance. And so I think even just being mindful in a conversation of, I want to hear from you, but I also need to be able to share because I'm receiving from you, but I also need to give of myself in this conversation and share a little bit of who I am. And offer some vulnerability. And I think the deeper the relationship, the more vulnerability there should be. And in one of the other chapters, I talk about the four levels of conversation, which facts are the most superficial. You know, you can have a facts conversation with anyone. How, what's the weather like outside? And what are your plans this weekend?
Cashier and then, at the grocery store.
You can exactly. Yeah. It's not offering anything personal. It's just offering the basic level one facts. You can have a conversation, level one conversation with a stranger.
Yeah.
Level two is a little bit deeper. Our opinions and our ideas. It's a little bit more of me in that. Here's what I think about this weather, you know? Here's what I think about this team or this conversational topic. And then level three is our feelings. It's a little bit deeper. This is what I feel. I'm really having a hard day. I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling overwhelmed, feeling inadequate. Level four conversation is, I think, even deeper than that in the sense of like my relationship with God, faith, what God is doing, what I'm learning, my belief systems, like what's happening at the core of who I am. And the closer you are to someone, the more you should be hitting those deeper levels. You can't stay in those deeper levels. My husband loves to joke with me because I could live in level three and four. And he's always like, Deb, we need to come up for air. We've been scuba diving down here for too long, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
You can't live there.
Yeah.
But to really have meaningful connection with people that matter, you have to be intentional about going there. And with people who are superficial and, you know, acquaintances, it's awkward to go there.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to have a gauge of the level of depth and commitment and match it to the level of depth in conversation.
That's what I was literally thinking. I was thinking those of us who like the level three and level four probably struggle to recognize when that's appropriate and when probably I should save that for my friend Friday night, not
exactly
right now in this public space. Yeah.
Exactly.
Where everyone's like looking at their shoes after I shared, you know, like, that was too much, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That was too much. And, you know, there's a skill to that. There's a skill to that. And sometimes our trauma teaches us one extreme or the other. Mm. We bring too much with no filter of, can I even trust you? Or we bring too little. So our past experiences really do influence this skill set without our awareness and without our realizing it. And that's why I hope that the goal of people skills, the number one goal, is awareness and understanding so that we can start doing things differently.
Yeah, that's good. And your example of the gal at dinner who just kept asking you questions, it's almost like they learned one skill.
Right.
It's like, it's a really good idea to ask people open-ended questions.
Right.
And then I think, your comment that it's in a way to avoid being vulnerable themselves is a very insightful. I know you have so many more things, 31, y'all, 31 chapters, so many good things. Before we have to wrap up, is there a skill you haven't talked about that you feel like these moms need to know about today?
Oh, man.
To put you on the spot.
I know. I would say the importance of give and take relationships, especially in this season of life, where it can be hard to find and even know what a good friend looks like. But as you get older, as you have more kids, as your kids develop and you grow and you become busier. And it's like the applications get less and less for who can be a meaningful friend. And I don't think we need to have hundreds of meaningful friends. I don't even think we need to have dozens, just a few. And for those people, you know, don't allow the fact that you've gotten burned before to keep you from trying again. I just did a podcast. I have a people skills series coming out on my podcast where we do on air sessions with people, and it's like a hotline. They call in, and this mom called in and said, I have been burned in relationships. And I just, at some point in the conversation, I said, well, how many times have you been burned? Because she was telling me these stories. And she's like, well, in the past decade, I've been burned 3 times. And I said to her, if I was giving you dating advice and you told me in the past decade you've been burned 3 times, I would instantly say, keep dating. Because those 3 are not a reflection of everyone out there. Yeah. And I'm going to give you the same advice for friendship. Keep trying.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I want to end with, the skill set of you need to keep being intentional with your relationships. Keep trying, keep investing, keep believing, keep offering your best and looking for their best. Keep believing for a give and take relationship, not one where you give too much and burn out, and not one where you give too little. You know, what could it look like for us to be intentional with a few friends this coming year to bring them close and to really nurture that relationship with a skill set? What could that look like? And what could that do for us in the long run to have those type of relationships? I really believe it's possible, but I also believe it's necessary for us to be healthy people.
I used to say it's worth the risk of rejection for vulnerable connection.
Like, it absolutely is.
If Jesus was willing to go first and be rejected by men,
I know.
He knows there's healing available. And like you said, those 3 examples don't mean everyone is. And it doesn't mean that he can't heal the pain. That's real pain. That's not nothing. But don't let it be, like you said.
Don't let it become your template. No. I always say, don't let trauma become your template.
Yeah.
You know, God's truth is what needs to be our template. Mm-hmm. And so we keep seeking to live out of that rather than out of the pain of our trauma.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah, that's really good. Okay, y'all, we're going to put all the links to all the things, Deborah, in the show notes, because she's amazing and you need more. And her podcast, you heard her just mention, with the series she's going to do, is called Talk to Me. So I'm okay if you go listen to her podcast. I'm great with it. That sounds like a really cool show, a hotline show.
It's been fun. Half of the calls are notable Christian leaders and teachers and pastors, and we do on-air counseling sessions.
Oh my gosh. Some of the,
like Levi Lusco, Christine Kane, Lisa Bevere, Jeremy Camp. I mean, we've done some serious, and they talk about some legit stuff. You know?
It's like the juiciness.
One of my listeners said to me, sometimes I almost feel awkward listening. Like I shouldn't be there. But obviously they know it's an on-air session. Yeah. And then the other half are just hotline callers who are like, hey, I have a question about this. I'm struggling in this area in my marriage, or I'm struggling with this. And we just talk through it. And it pulls back the curtain to show that we are all on the journey of healing. None of us are exempt from this, you know? We're all struggling with different things and journeying towards healing and sanctification together.
Yeah. And that's why I love the concept of skills that you talk about, because this is it's not a fixed thing that you have or you don't have. It's a growth thing that you
exactly
can get better at or improve or gain more, a big tool belt full of things. So
exactly.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the time to write that book in the midst of all that you're doing.
You know, it was
your
such
little
a pleasure.
Fishes
it was such a pleasure.
And loaves.
I dedicated it to my first boy. My firstborn's a daughter, secondborn outside of the box boy. Mm-hmm. I said to him in the dedication, we've been working on our people skills with each other ever since the day you were born. And, you know, I just really believe that God will use this message to help us convey his love to all the places that it needs to go.
Yeah, that's a good goal. I love it. All right. Well, thank you for joining me. Y'all go check everything out, and hopefully we get to talk soon.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure.
Well, I don't know about you, but I feel better equipped to communicate and connect with those around me thanks to Deborah. And there is honestly so much more in her book, People Skills. And I feel like I need to have her back on the show because she is a wealth of information. So many good things to talk about. For those of you sticking around to hear information about our Embrace Grace event. So basically, a few months ago, I interviewed Amy Ford. She is the founder of Embrace Grace, and heard about these days where they gather people together to pack love boxes, to write Brave Girl letters, and other ways we can support their ministry. It's called Pro Love Saturday. So we have decided, our team, that we're going to sign up to join Embrace Grace on February 7th at 9:30 a.m. at their headquarters. And we've put the links in the show notes for you to sign up. You can sign up for each person who'll be coming. It's for kids 12 and up, and any friends of yours you want to invite, if you want to gather a group together. I do think they have limited space, so make sure you sign up. It's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I think it's actually more in Fort Worth. So just keep that in mind, but we would love to see you there. I am excited to start off the new year a week before Valentine's Day, a great way to show love to these precious women who are choosing life for their unborn babies and for us as a church to gather around them and show them support. So join me February 7th, 9:30 a.m., Embrace Grace. Again, if you don't know how to find show notes, whatever podcast player you're listening to, when you are on the episode and you see a button that says show more, it will give you a description of our episode and then keep going, usually a way to connect with our guests, any other links that we've mentioned and related episodes, the sponsor links, all that's in the show notes. So you can find that if you just keep on in the episode and say, see more. I'm going to pray for us. Lord, I do thank you that you made us relational people. And I love that there's always room for us to grow in our abilities to better see others, listen to others, show others love. I pray that for anyone listening who's struggling with their communication, maybe patterns that were modeled to them that they don't want to continue, that they would feel your grace and not any kind of shame or condemnation, that they would recognize the growth that's possible in this upcoming year, that, Lord, we want your love to shine brightest in all the places that we go and for us to communicate effectively and with care and to connect well with others. And I just pray that we do that first in our homes and then in our communities and so the world can know you, Lord. I just pray over each person listening. I pray over this upcoming year, whatever's heavy on their hearts, whatever they're carrying into the year, whatever they're anticipating that's coming in the upcoming months, and any fear or worries, that those could be handed over to you, God, and that your peace would transcend their hearts and minds. They would feel your presence, that they would know that whatever we walk through, you provide the grace in those moments, moment-to-moment grace, that we don't get too far ahead of ourselves. And any places that we do want to grow, that we would be led by your Spirit and not performance or striving, but that we would be gentle with ourselves to go at your pace, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thanks for joining me. I will meet you back here. And remember, always, if you love an episode, tell a friend about it. It's a great way for our show to be able to reach more moms who are feeling alone and unsupported. We have over 500 episodes, so definitely check out our podcast archives, because if there's something you're struggling with, most likely we have had an episode on it and I've been able to chat with someone who knows how to handle it. And if not, please send me a DM. I would love to support you if you're struggling with something and you are not finding that I have talked about it. Let's cover it this year. All right. Have a good one. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.